Matthew 26, way on down there. You know, we last time we got together in Matthew, we saw that they were in the upper room. Judas had left to go betray Jesus, and he instituted what we call communion. He broke that bread and said, "My body broken for you." He passed out the cup and said, "This is the cup, my blood, the cup, the blood of the new covenant. Remember me when you do this." And so we remember him. Each time we share communion, we remember he was broken, his body was broken, his blood was shed for you and for me, all of us. And you can have forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Well, now the verse we looked at lastly said this, "And when they had sung a hymn," verse 30, "they went out to the Mount of Olives." So they all, there are 12 of them now. Judas is gone. So Jesus and the 11 are now headed out through the Jerusalem streets, going to go down through the Kidron Valley, over across to the Mount of Olives. And as they're going, this is what we read, beginning in verse 31. "Then said Jesus unto them, all of you shall be offended because of me tonight." It's time now. Every one of you, now Judas is already gone. So all 11 of you will be offended because of me this night. "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." All of you tonight, every one of you without fail, he says, is going to be offended. You're going to run away. You're going to leave me alone. We've been with you 3 years. We've been with you through thick and through thin, through good times and bad. We were there when they tried to kill you. We were there when we had to really get in the boat and quick get away. We were there. Are you sure? Yes, every one of you is going to run away and leave me alone tonight. Because it's written in Zechariah chapter 13, he quotes from, "I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Satan decides, if I can get Jesus and kill him, we'll scatter these abroad. It'll stop this whole thing. And many times in ministry, do you see how the leaders of the ministry are attacked? And sometimes you do see them fall. I know you've seen it in your lifetime, that a man or a woman will fall. And what happens to that ministry? Many times it is devastated, it is destroyed. Ministries that were living and thriving 20 years ago are out of existence today. Smite the shepherd and the flock's just gone. They scatter. And so, in ministry, you know, you just see it happen. It's a tough spot. Old saying that we have in ministry is, if you're going to lead the orchestra, you have to turn your back on the crowd. Or, one of my favorites is, when you're right above the target, that's when you're going to take the most flack. And it's true. And in ministry, you're in a position where people are going to take shots at you. And if you can just smite the shepherd or the leaders, and the sheep are going to scatter. Well, Jesus is quoting out of Zechariah chapter 13, specifically saying that Zechariah is talking about Messiah. Now, here is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. You don't think it. I know you don't. But it says this, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." How many just memorize that verse and think about it? You know, not too many. That's not one of the super memory verses. But it ought to be. And why do I say that? Because he has just said to the guys, me and you, every one of you is going to run away and leave me alone tonight. You are going to leave me. But I will not leave you. You are going to desert me tonight, but I will not desert you. Now, when I'm risen again, I'll meet you. I'll come and find you there in Galilee. Just like I told you. You may desert me, but I will not desert you. Doesn't that make you feel better? Look at our weakness and then admit it. For a change, just admit how weak we really are. And I'm not worried. He promised me, I will not desert you. Now, Bob, you could run, you could fall down, you could fall apart. I'm going to be there. I told you I'd meet you and I'll be there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When I am risen, all 11 of you, even though you're going to leave tonight, you're going to flake out, I will meet with you again. You can desert me, but I will not desert you. He forgives. He comforts again and again, doesn't he? Now, Peter, He spoke up. Now, you know, Peter's been prone and known to do that. "Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended." Oh, Lord, John, James, all those guys, they might. But I won't. I would never. Now, may I ask you a question? To be honest, do you really think Peter meant that? I mean, come on. Do you really think Peter meant that? Lord, others might, but I would never. Do you think he was serious when he said it? I believe with his whole heart he meant that. No way, Lord, no, I would never. Others might, but you can count on me. I love you. I would never. Now, have you ever been to a wedding? Those of you that are married, you've been to at least one. Right? Now, do you understand that you stood there, or you watched someone stand there and make huge promises? In my wedding, I said, for better or forget it. But that's not what you're supposed to. You're supposed to say, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to honor and to cherish, forsaking all others until death separates us. Or if you really want to be formal, until death do us part. Remember those promises? Now you were serious, I believe. I was serious when we said them. Now from our hearts we meant them. Have we broken those? Oh, sure. Someone said, well, no, we're still married. Yeah, I know. And were you loving and honoring and cherishing the whole time? Well, except for last Thursday. I mean, she said something that I can't believe any human. So I had to tell her. Now, I broke my promise, man. Loving, honoring, cherishing. You know, those are big words. And we don't understand what we're all about. And Peter, from his heart, sincerely said, others might, Lord, but I never would. And Jesus says, truly, I say unto you, Peter, that this night, tonight, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Three separate times, Peter is going to literally deny that he even knows Jesus. And the third time, he's going to deny it with a curse. In other words, let me be accursed to the lowest hell if I'm lying. Now, those are big words. Was he serious when he said, I would never leave you? I would not run away. Others might, but I would. Yes, he was. But he doesn't understand his own heart. We are weak people. I know that we have all the answers. I know that we think we've got it all wired in and locked in. I know that technology has taken us there and medical advances. I know that we're something. But we need to become nothing. It's easy to become something. A little work, a little study, a little sweat, and you can become something. But to become nothing takes supernatural power. I need the Holy Spirit in my life to become nothing. Peter, Lord, I would never. Truly I say to you that this tonight, before the rooster crows, you shall deny me three times. Peter said to him, Lord, and he said, though I should die with you, yet I will not deny you. Likewise, all the other disciples said the same thing. Well, me too. I wouldn't. I'm like Peter. Matter of fact, I'm better than Peter. So I wouldn't either, Lord. I'm not going to run. How many of them are going to run? Yeah. Now, of course, had you and I been there, not me, Lord. I'm tough. I can take anything. I'm not running. I'd be the first one going, yeah, get out, Will, run. That's me. Maybe not exactly those words. I don't know how it would make you feel, but wow. Well, they continued to walk. Then came Jesus, verse 36, with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, you guys sit here while I go pray a little further over yonder. He was from now in the southern part. Yeah. Didn't work, did it? Okay. Gethsemane. It means oil press. That's what the word means in our language, oil press. There would be a large bowl. If you go over to Israel, if you can take a tour, the garden's still there. Many of the trees, some of those olive trees are from that time. They're that old. And they don't get super tall, but they're large and they're gnarly things. Kind of neat. And so many olives, and there's like a bowl or a bowl in the ground or a cutout place. And what they would do is put the olives in there. And what would happen to the olives? They would be crushed, smashed, and broken. And while they're being crushed and smashed and broken, oil is produced in through the drains there, and they catch it. And they're, so it's called oil press. Kind of interesting when you think that that's where Jesus went to. And he will soon be crushed and smashed and broken there. And of course, when he was crushed and smashed and broken, it was for us. Notice that the olives were put in this bowl and they were crushed, they were broken, they were mashed in, and oil was produced. Jesus said, if I go, if I am crucified and then rise again and go to my Father, he will send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, many times represented in the Bible by oil. So you think about it, Jesus being crushed and broken, then the Holy Spirit was given. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now he said, sit here, guys, right here, and I'm going to go pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. Peter and James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy, burdened. His soul already was begin to be pressed and crushed, just like the olives in Gethsemane and the oil press there. And he said unto them, verse 38, Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. I feel like I'm being crushed and pressed, even unto death, like it's going to kill me. Stay here with me and watch with me. You know, Jesus said that his soul is exceeding sorrowful. Remember, we read in other Gospels that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The stress, the pressure that was upon our Lord. And so he says this, he says, would you stay with me and watch with me? Stay here and watch with me. He's talking about keeping your eyes open, looking and praying. Now the Bible, verse 39 says, he went a little further and he fell on his face. That doesn't mean he tripped. That means he took that position in prayer. And he prayed, and this is his prayer. Note the prayer of God the Son to God the Father. Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now you have to ask yourself this question. What is he praying? This is God the Son who came to die for the sins of the world. What is he praying? What is his prayer request? First of all, people say, well, he was just human and didn't want to suffer. Probably that's a little part of it. I think it's much, much bigger than just the suffering of the nails and the beating. You see, he was about to take on the sins of the entire world from Adam and Eve all the way through to where it finally ends. All sin would be placed upon Jesus Christ himself. He became sin, Bible says, who knew no sin. He was getting ready for all that to be placed on him. Have you ever sinned? Now, I'm not finished. And you knew it was so terrible that you were burdened by it. You couldn't sleep. You couldn't eat. You couldn't get it off your mind. David says, I've sinned against you and you alone. My sin is ever before me. David would say, I can't get it off my heart and my mind. I can't think. It's crushing me down. Have you ever sinned like that? I have. Can you imagine? That's just yours. Can you imagine taking on the world's sin? The feeling, the crushing, the ugliness. But there is more. Because Jesus Christ is God, the Son, and has always been. Before there was us, before there was an earth, God existed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has always been the Son of God. He didn't become the Son down here when He showed up. He's always been. And they have not been separated. Their fellowship has never been broken. But that's coming because the Bible says God's eyes are pure and He cannot look upon sin. And who's going to take upon Himself and become sin for the world? Jesus. And so He's going to have, His Father's going to turn away. There's only, the only time Jesus did not call Him Father was on the cross crying out, He said this, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Because God's eyes are pure, He turned away to allow His Son to die. He became sin. I think Jesus is saying, is there any other way people can be saved except for Me having to take on this sin and to be separated and have our fellowship broken? The question, the prayer request is there another way people can be saved? Lord, can they just be real, real good? Like, could You give them 2 weeks, and if they're really, really good, then strike them dead and bring them home? Because do more than that. Or maybe this, can they pay their way in? Some of them make good money, and they're Americans. And so maybe, could you let them buy their way in? Now, it wouldn't work in Sudan, but could you let some of them? Can they just go to church a whole lot? Every time the door's open, can they just go, and would that count in their credit? Father, can they just be sure to take care of the poor, especially on Thanksgiving and Christmas? The prayer request is very simple. Can they be saved any other way? And then He says, nevertheless, here's my prayer request. Your will be done, not mine. Now listen closely. It's not name it and claim it, make it, take it, blab it and grab it. Jesus didn't do that. But He did something that I catch myself not doing and I'm trying to learn. And He did this. He gave His petition. He asked. And notice, then He rested in faith. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will. When you cry out to the Lord, Lord, here's my petition. And I rest in that. Now I know You are good. You are God. I know You have heard Me. You promised You'd listen. Now I will wait in what You say and what You do. That's perfect. So, you ask, and then you rest in faith. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What did we just get told? Leave your request with God and then rest in faith. Did you pray about it? Yes, I have. What are you doing? I'm now looking to the Lord. I rest in faith. Lord, whatever You say. Many times, He has not done what I wanted Him to do. But I know God is good, and so I say, Lord, Your will be done. Now, see, my choice is, if You want me to teach the Bible, which I love to teach the Bible, I could do that in Arizona, because it's warm. I could probably do it in Hawaii, because it's warm. I don't know, probably if we didn't go to the mountains, I could do it in Australia. It's warm there. New Zealand's nice. God says, okay, Idaho. Okay. It's warm there. Well, let's see. Last summer was a Thursday. I like it here. I'm just teasing you. Whatever, you know, many times I say, okay, Lord, You want me to just play my music? And God says, I want You to teach. No. Okay. All right, Lord, it's Your... Boy, well, You're going to have a lot of things to correct. So what? You know what God does? I say things, and the microphone changes them into something that really is beginning to make sense to you. It's a supernatural thing God does. That's all. How could He let someone like me do this? Because He can do anything. So when you pray, and you should, ask him and begin to rest in faith and listen to him. Well, when he came, after he prayed, he came back, verse 40, to his disciples, and he found them asleep. Well, right away, he talks to Peter. You're the one that spoke up, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? To watch means to stay awake, stay alert, and to be praying. Watch and pray that you enter not into trials or testing or temptation. Peter, couldn't you stay awake 1 hour with me? Now, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know, Peter, that you meant what you said, but don't you understand? There is a fight going on and you're losing. You're in a heavyweight match and you are no match. You're getting a beating. Please don't misunderstand what Jesus just said. He is not condemning Peter and James and John. On the contrary, he's loving them. He's saying, your enemy, guys, your enemy, he's always plotting against you, scheming, looking for an opening. In a heavyweight fight, you see those guys, and I mean, any little mistake, any hole, and pain is going to be involved here. And so you've got to watch and pray. Jesus was warning those that he loves. The spirit is willing, guys, but the flesh is weak. Be careful. Watch out. And we read this. He went again and prayed the second time. Prayer is a little different the second time. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Right now, he knows. All right, this is what God is wanting, so let your will be done. And he came back and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Of course, they're under attack. They don't understand what's going on in the spiritual realm. You start to read your Bible, it's not even late. 7 in the evening, you open your Bible and you start to read a verse and you read the same verse 7 times and you notice you're starting to fall and you're slobbering on it and you think, oh, I'm not even tired. Then you can pick up the paper and read the thing from cover to cover. There's nothing in it. It's boring, but you do it because it's like there are pictures that help. Read a magazine, garbage magazine, but there are good, nice pictures. But you read your Bible, and for some reason you can't seem to stay awake. You want to pray, you start to drift off to sleep, or the phone rings, or in your mind you're going, was that dryer still going? How long did I sit there? And the enemy, he's right there. It's a time of trial. It's a time of testing. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, pray along these lines. And what part of what he said was, lead us not into temptation. See, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I am weak. Don't take me into there, Lord. I mean, whatever you say is fine, but Lord, if you're open to suggestions, take me that way. I don't need that trouble with the enemy. I don't want to go through that. Whatever you say, though. Well, notice he left them there. They were tired. He went away and prayed a third time, verse 44, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples, they're still asleep, and he says to them, go ahead and sleep, guys. I know you're tired. Take your rest. Behold, the hour's at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Jesus is letting them sleep. Now, I want you to understand, we'll stop here, because between verse 45 and 46, there is a time gap. And so we'll leave a time gap, too, till the next time we get together. But see, he tells them, go ahead and take your rest. Take your rest. You're tired. Because, see, it's time now. You should have been praying, but you weren't. And I understand. And God is so merciful with us. We should have been praying. You're going to find out that Jesus did not fail in this moment of temptation. Why? Because he was praying. But his disciples fail in the moment of temptation. Why? Because they weren't praying, they were sleeping. Is it a sin to sleep? No, we're built that way, we must. But you see, we need to be men and women of prayer. Now, group prayer is good, and you should pray together. But understand that a lot of times you get together and pray, you hold hands, or you sit in a group, or you kneel, or you lay on your face, and you pray, and you let your request be made known unto God, and then when you're done, you leave. But prayer is communication with God. And so he's going to communicate back. Many times in public prayer, you're going to find that doesn't take place. And people think a lot of times, well, if we don't pray publicly, we're not going to be strong. Listen, if you don't pray privately, we're all going to fall apart. That's where it's at. Publicly, we will pray together, yes. Privately, we must become men and women of prayer. You've got to sit quietly away from everything and everybody. Have your Bible with you and just say, Lord, I need a job, or whatever you've got your prayer request. And He's going to be communicating with you and you with Him. And you're going to tell Him things you would never say in public prayer, ever. I've been in public prayer, and you know, Lord, bless my feet, and my hand hurts, and you know, and those are good things, and that's fine. But then someone will come along and say, Lord, my heart is breaking, and you'll see them weep. And you know what you notice right away? I do not belong here. This is them and God. I better get out of this room and let them have this time. I should not be here for this. Of course, it's kind of rare that it does happen in public, but it does happen. And when it does, you know you shouldn't even be there. You should be letting this person get with their Lord, because they are crushed. They're heartbroken, and they're crying out to God, and He's going to communicate and deal with them. And you feel like saying, excuse me, I'll just go have a cup of something, and because I shouldn't even be here. This is a time, this is a holy time between you and God. And there needs to be time, you and God alone. And that, everyone, that's where it's at. We need to be men and women of prayer. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you ought to be there alone. Jesus said, when you pray, you go to your closet or to a private place. Get in there quietly. And you let your requests be made known unto God. You should hear the things I tell Him. I won't tell you what I tell Him. He knows. But I got to find times to do it when there's no noise. There's nobody around. So my wife says, don't you like our house? Oh, it's great. But I got to get to a place away. Because in my house, I'll sit in this neat chair I have, and you put the feet up and it rocks. And you can pray. But not long. But now in this beautiful church that God has given us, you couldn't sleep in there on a bed. Can't be done. It's just not built that way. And you can get down there and you can pray. And you can look for answers and listen. And listen and listen. And you're all alone and there's no pressure and no time. And the phone won't ring. And if it does, Mr. Answering Machine will talk to them, because he loves them. So you don't give it a thought. Take your rest. I want you to know something as we close. We should be men and women, young and old alike, of prayer. That's what will make this ministry healthy and strong, is if you will get all alone every day, every time you get a chance, and cry out to God. And when you think of me, all you got to say is, heal him, Jesus. I mean, just whatever it takes, you know, just pray for me. And whatever, people say, what can I pray for you? I tell them, you start praying, and whatever God brings to your mind, you pray it for me. Because I am in such need, I can't think of one specific. There are so many things that pop into my head, and you don't have time. So you just pray. You know what I want to do? All I want to do, I just want to teach the Bible. That's what I want to do when I grow up. I want to teach the Bible. And I want to teach it in such a way that is so simple, people look at it and go, that's simple. Why didn't I see that before? I say, Lord, you give me simple words. And when people laugh at me because I use the wrong ones, then great, that's what I want. I want them to laugh, but I want them to understand it so they can walk away and do something about it. Either reject it or say yes. That's what I want. When we do the commentaries, they're taken from these tapes and they're simple. I've already gotten feedback even from my own family. Man, these are simple. You understanding it? Yeah, then do something about it. Good. Keep it simple. That's what I pray. So if you want to pray for me, pray that I can teach the Bible until he comes back to get me. I don't want to retire. I just want to go to heaven. That's kind of my prayer, so you can pray that for me. Jesus did not fail in his moment of temptation. The disciples did. What's the difference? Jesus was in prayer. His disciples weren't. Now, you look at those disciples and you say, what a bunch of losers. Well, that's right. He said we were, all of us. But I'm not going to cover the next verse, but let me read to you 1, 2, 3, 4, first five words of the next verse. Rise, let us be going. you guys, you're going to run away from me. You're going to deny me. You're sleeping when you ought to be in serious prayer. How would you treat people like that? Look what Jesus says. Come on, let's go. He includes them. Let us be going. See, Jesus loves you. You can deny him, he won't deny you. You can let him down, he will never let you down. You can desert him, he will not desert you. He loves you. He says, I'm going to meet with you guys when I'm risen from the dead. We'll get together in Galilee. Right here, he could say, you guys sleep. Obviously, you don't care. You're not interested enough to stay awake. You don't love me. I'll just do this by myself. No, he says, come on, let's go. He doesn't put him down, for he understands me and you. He knows what we're made like. He understands our weaknesses. I'm telling you right now, we are so sincere when we tell him things like, I won't deny you. When we make him promises, when we start to say, Lord, I'm yours and I want to follow you and you use me. We're sincere when we say it, and temptation comes, and if we're not ready, we get knocked down. You get your feet get knocked out from under you. You get the wind knocked out of you. You're down. And you know what Jesus says? I'm with you. I'm there. I'll meet with you. I'll come and get you. I'll strengthen you up. People have asked, why would God allow shooting in a church? You know, sin is what's causing all this. And I just got a report this morning of one of the young ladies who reported to the paper. She threw her body over one of the handicapped children that was there, knowing that it made her a large target. But she felt like she needed to protect this child. She was shot. And she said, my prayer was, Lord, I don't want to die before I see my mother. Well, she's alive and going to be fine. And now she's getting back to school because she has flute practice. And I think sometimes, Lord, why don't you just get us out? But the truth is, he says, no, Bob, what I want you to do is watch and pray. Watch, keep your eyes open, be alert and pray. Don't miss your times of prayer, because your time is coming when you'll get to stand for Jesus Christ. Somehow, some way. Maybe little, it may be big, but somehow, some way. The trials are there. And I notice when we fall, many of us, most of us, it usually comes on the heel of a real high spiritual thing. You know, God has used you and you're really up spiritually, and then something comes and gets you, you weren't ready, and it takes you out. So you always want to be men and women of prayer. Sometimes I don't understand, but this I do understand. God is good all the time. He's good all the time. And everything he does and allows in my life, he's going to use it, and it will bring him glory, and it will bring to his kingdom something. And I think that's what all of us want. Pray. And even though his disciples weren't able to stay awake, he still loved them, and he still says, come on, let's go. He says that to me a lot. When I fall, I go, I fell, and I'm an idiot. And he just says, you love me, don't you? Yes, sir. Then come on, let's walk. I know, but I'm dirty, and I'm a loser. Just come on, Bob, walk with me. Let's go. He does the same for you, too. He loves you. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we ask you to work in our hearts. We forget how weak we can be. We see ourselves as pretty strong. But your word says pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Lord, none of us want that. We don't want to be destroyed. We don't want to fall. That's not our goal. And our spirit is willing, but our flesh is so weak. Help us to learn. Help us to remember. And Lord, fill us with your spirit and place in us a desire to just commune with you, to pray, to cry out to you, to leave our requests with you, and to rest in faith in you. And that's where the peace is, you said. Hear our hearts, Lord, and speak to the hearts of these, your people, as we worship you now. In Jesus' name.